You know, I was thinking about something that happened years and years ago. I think maybe it was in a college class. And the question was posed, and maybe you've had it posed to you or heard of it before. And the question was, what is the purpose of life? You know, it's a pretty broad and ambiguous question. And I'd venture to say if that question was asked to 100 people, you'd probably get about 100 or maybe at least 99 different responses. You'd get things like, well, to be as good a person as I can be. Or maybe to be charitable. Or maybe to love other people. To raise a family, to have children. Maybe it's to aspire, to gain things, to maybe leave a legacy or achieve something great in your life. And I think about the responses that I've heard over the years. You know, these are all human responses, and they don't really have anything to do with what's God's purpose for you and for me. And the Word of God provides us, and I'm so thankful, and I know you are too. The Word of God provides us with the Father's purpose for each and every one of us, the purpose of our lives. You know, why are we even here? Why did God even create an earth, let alone us? He did not need to do that, but he did. And you think of it, why? Why did he do that? I believe that in the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, we're provided with an answer, maybe the answer. Paul wrote in Philippians 12:1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a powerful revelation Jesus gave to Paul, who in turn, Paul has given it to us. This new life now that is in us and dwelling in us, and the life of Christ that lives through us. What greater calling could there be, or purpose could there be? In Galatians 2:20, Paul also wrote, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Just like we sang a few minutes ago. In Galatians 3:3, Paul also wrote, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" You see, it's not a matter of our achieving, or maybe those common answers that you hear all the time. That's not the answer. We know that we can't do a thing. We can do nothing to add to our salvation, or to our spiritual standing, or to our spiritual growth. Our perfection, brothers and sisters, is not in the flesh. And I know you know that. It's a spiritual perfection, which can only be attained by the grace of God. It's a free gift. This offer to become spiritually perfect, it can only be attained by grace. And the only way that was achieved was by the blood of Jesus. You see, you come full circle with the whole thought, with the whole concept. Only by grace can we attain to the full stature of the bride of Christ. That's the only way we can do it. The more grace we receive and allow that grace to live in us and be shown through us, the purpose of life. Paul's summary statement, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," allowed Paul and all of us to do these three things. And I kind of went back through that portion of Scripture in Philippians 1. First of all, we can rest in the security of God. In Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing." What was he confident in? "That he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Be confident that he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it, not might, but shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. 2. A lot of people don't like this. To rejoice in suffering for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:12, Paul writes, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." 3. To remain gladly in love with both Jesus and the whole church. Paul wrote in Philippians 1, and if you're there, in verse 21, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, that what I choose, I would not." What he would choose, he would not. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul wanted to be with the Lord, of course he did. But he knew that his calling was directly from Jesus, and his ministry was ordained by Jesus himself. He was torn between the two. Shall I go home, or shall I continue on the path that you've given me and the assignment that you've given me? Paul was torn between these two desires. Paul's security, our security. Paul's rejoicing, our rejoicing. Paul's love, our love for others was based on one thing: Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was the foundation of Paul's love for the church. "In one person and by one act, the fullness of God's grace was made readily available to every man, every woman, every child who has ever lived, who is currently living, who is ever going to be living, if the Lord tarry." So you've heard the term, the poker term, "I'm all in." Paul was all in. Paul was all in for the furtherance of the gospel. 2,000 years ago, we still have it. We still cleave to it. It's still the same. It's never changed. It's the foundational doctrines. Paul's messages to the church is what this church is established on: the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the Apostle Paul. You know, there have been many people, and are, you know, many, many people, who have suffered greatly for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ over the centuries. Martyrs, missionaries, you can go on and on and on. Religious figures, etc., etc., as long as they're speaking truth and love. But can you think of one person who has suffered more for the furtherance of the gospel than the Apostle Paul? I can't. I've tried. I'm like, you read about all Paul's sufferings and his sacrifices that he endured and the travels that he went and just the terrible things that he endured. And he counted it all joy. Paul gladly suffered greatly for the furtherance of the gospel because he loved the gospel, he loved Jesus, and he loved people. He wasn't the same person that he was when he was Saul. When he was Saul, he was given authority to go out and capture people, torture people, sit there and watch as they were stoned, even encourage that, to have people executed. And now look at him. What could have made such a change? What could have made such a change? Jesus Christ and Paul. That's it. How about us? Christ in me, the hope of glory? You see, we don't need to work ourselves up to be Christians. We don't. We just need to let the Holy Spirit work through us and in us by his grace, by the grace of God. So coming back full circle, what is the purpose of life? Maybe you'll be asked that someday. I don't know. I hope we can all respond with Paul, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Boy, that would be a conversation starter, wouldn't it? What? Tell me more about that. You see, we're called to live that new life of Christ in us right now in this present world with all of its hate, with all of its violence, with all of its vulgarness. You see, we're lights. We're lights to the world. We're lights to the world. We're light to everybody that we encounter, whether we know that person or not. They're going to see something different in you. You say, why are you different, pagan? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, they'll probably pay attention to that, I hope. Let us shine brightly. Just let us shine brightly. Shine brightly until the soon coming day. And I pray it is today, when Jesus returns, takes us up, seats us in the heavens with him as his bride, as his prepared bride, as the one who loves him more than all, because he loves you more than all. I never get tired of pondering this thought, this current, because the high calling has been afforded to everyone, to all of us. Well, I pray he come today.